We're good. We made it. Guys, it's been a tough one for me. And I'm not talking about all that other stuff. I'm talking about when I got asked to share, it had been a long time dream of mine to preach at Harvest City. Even before, long time ago, even when I was young, I used to share lots because my parents were pastors. But be careful what you wish for. Because I have felt a weight of God's goodness towards me. A weight so thick that as I ponder my life, even in the dark times, I see his faithfulness towards me. We made it. I just want to say thank you, Harvest City Church. Those of you who know me, those of you who don't know me, my wife was born and raised in this church. I won't tell you how old she is, but it's a pretty long time. And so I want to thank you for loving me. And I want to thank you for praying for me and for believing in God that he can turn any heart, that the walls of our heart are no match for him, and like the walls of Jericho, they too will crumble before him. I know I haven't made it easy on you. I know that. I made mistakes. I made big mistakes, and I made a lot of them, and I made them. How do I say it? A million mistakes a million times. And I know some of you wanted to throw me away, but that's okay, because God will never throw me away. Amen. And he'll never throw you away. And you don't even know today that the goodness of God is chasing you. You might be getting tired, my people. You might be getting tired of running and hiding, but I'm here to tell you today the goodness of God is chasing you. Amen. And you have no chance. He's not hunting you to shame you. He's not hunting you to discipline you or punish you. He's hunting you to love you. There's a beautiful, beautiful story in the Bible. Don't worry, guys. I got my plan right here. Old school. That the Lord strips you bare. He strips you bare. He takes all your resources. He takes all your security. And he leads you into the desert where he can get a hold of you and woo you again. Love you again. Win your heart back to him again. See, we have this concept, at least I know I do, is where I expect to be punished. I expect to be punished. But praise God. He's not after you to hurt you. He's after you to show his goodness and kindness towards you. Listen, guys, I don't know how many times I almost died. I don't know how many ways I've almost died. We're still standing. And I'm going to talk about how Jesus, we've heard incredible stories over the last 2 weeks of how God, Jesus, the Son of God, establishes himself as the Promised One, the coming King, the Son of God, the Messiah. He establishes himself through healing. And then he reinforces that with profound contextual analogies. Man, I should have been a poet, eh? What I'm saying is, like, he's using pictures that, like, pull you deep in the heart. And his audience is the Hebrew people, so they have a deep understanding of what he's talking about. And he's pulling on their heartstrings and saying, you know that thing you know about the light of the world? You know that thing? That's me. You know that thing, the manna that our ancestors ate in the desert? Remember that place where their clothes didn't shrink and their shoes never wore out? You know that place where bread fell from the sky? He said, that manna, that's me. They're not foreign to those ideas. They're understanding deeply what he's talking about. And I know he's been talking to you in a way that only he can. Because from what I've learned about Jesus is that he's timely and he's precise and that he's kind and he's gentle and he knows how to get past all your defenses so that he can get close to you. I know that about him. That's how he is. See, if he came at me with the threat of danger, I would resist. That's what I do in life. That's what I do. If there's danger, I'm going to resist. But I have no chance against his kindness. The kindness of God is what leads us to repentance. The goodness of God. Well, before we jump in, I just want to pray. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for keeping me around, oh Lord. I thank you that you see all things, that you're mindful of all things, that you created everybody in this audience, Lord. You know them intimately. God, I pray that as the word is released this morning, it'll go past any barrier, Lord. That seed will be sown today and that fruit will be born. And not just any fruit, much fruit, that the people will know that there's nothing in front of them that they cannot overcome with you on our side. Lord, your word says that if you are for me, who can be against me? I speak that over your people this morning, Lord, that hope would rise, God, that faith would rise, God, and that the dead parts of our hearts, the dead parts of our life would resurrect with hope, Lord, as the river of life washes over them, God. In Jesus' name, I bless these people. I bless these people. Amen. Man, I'm spitting everywhere. I'm excited. You might want to wash this thing. Somebody, anyway. Babe, I need my phone, please. Wasting my precious time here. So guys, just for the record, the longest I've ever spoke at Harvest City was 8 minutes. I got 32 today, so we're doing pretty good. Or 35. Okay, we're going to start this morning with John 10. We're going to jump right into John 10. I'm just going to read it, verse 1 to 10, and then we're going to go from there. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my one of my favorite movies, okay? Here we go. John 10. I'm reading NIV. Oh, no, I'm not. Sorry. New King James. Because I want to see where Jesus, he uses the word door. That's important. In other versions, he uses the word gate, which is equally as important. And I'm hoping that as I stand here before you today, as a man, that the Holy Spirit will use me this morning to speak what he wants to speak to you. And as I've been feasting on this scripture, I know even in my own life that it's brought faith to me, that it's brought a security to me. I've been chasing a remedy my whole life. I've tried it all, I've done it all, and it wasn't until I found that door, or the door found me, that my life began to change. Jesus, the true shepherd. Man, you guys gave me a tough one. This one was tough. Because if I go too far, then I'm going into next week's. And if I go this way, then I'm trying, okay? I'm trying to stay on pace here. Jesus, the true shepherd. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Dave, can we get the hook slide, or somebody get the Peter Pan slide? So for those of you who don't know what this clip is from, it's from one of my favorite movies when I was a little boy. It's called Hook. It's about Peter Pan. If you're not familiar with that, I don't have the time to tell you about it, but it's really good. So essentially what happens is Peter Pan goes away from Neverland and he gets old, he gets hairy, he gets fat a little bit. I can relate. And then he comes back to Neverland. When he left, he could crow, he could fly, he had a golden sword, he had all these things. And he had a band of misfit kids that he lived with called the Lost Boys. He goes back to the Neverland Island. The Lost Boys don't recognize him. Man, he can't crow, he can't fly, he's hairy, he's fat, he's all these things. This is not Peter Pan. This is not Peter Pan. So they reject him. And in this powerful scene, this kid walks from the back, real small kid, and he walks towards Peter Pan, Robin Williams, pulls him down, and then he starts plying with his face, pulling at his face, and just below the surface, when he gets just below the surface, he says, "Oh, Peter, there you are." The reason why I'm talking about this, my friends, is that this word, this living word, can make for a great tale. We can read it. We can interact with it on a surface level. We can even memorize it. We can do whatever we want and keep it at a surface level. We can even get faith from it. We can even get encouragement from it. But when we ply the word, when we dig, when we investigate, when we go searching, even in the places we don't understand, our understanding, the Holy Spirit lights us up and we begin to ply and we begin to investigate and we begin to dig and we say, "Oh Jesus, there you are." Even in the dark places, even in the hard places, as I begin to ply, even in my own life, I begin to say, "Jesus, there you are." Guys, he'll never leave you. So I'll be honest, when I got into this scripture, I'm reading, I'm like, "Man, what does this even mean? I don't know anything." And I felt like that before. When I got sober, I started talking to somebody and I started doing, "Deb, where are you?" There she is. "You're here, oh, Deb. Your hero. You helped save me." I began talking to Deb, and one day I was coming, it was probably, I don't know how long, I stopped at Tim Hortons and I went in the parking lot. I'm not used to talking about stuff, and every time I see Deb, I cry. I pull into Tim Hortons and I said, "What am I even going to talk about today? I don't even know what I'm doing." I start crying. "I don't have no idea what I'm doing. God, I feel like a little boy. I have no clue." And then I heard this little voice in my head say, "I love that about you. I love that about you." Guys, we don't have to know everything. As a matter of fact, I feel like the more we know, the harder it is to get in here. You know, the Pharisees in the Bible were masters of the word and they couldn't even see Jesus. Ooh, think about that. We don't need to know everything. We need to be humble. Under the weight of his goodness and purpose for your life. Okay, I got to stop preaching because I got to get through this. So now we're going to go. I didn't understand what was being said here. And I was praying and I was asking, "God, help me, Lord. I don't know what is being said. Why is he talking about thieves and robbers? What are those?" And then he talked about how, like, anybody that enters the sheepfold. I was thinking, "Man, isn't there only one way in? Isn't Jesus the only way in?" I look at the word, it said, "Anybody who climbs the wall." Wow, there's multiple ways in. What are you talking about, Lord? I'm busy. I've been going all over Canada these last 2 months. All over. And in my heart, I've just been praying, "Lord, what are you talking about?" And then I was driving home and I got this story, Mark 5. The woman with the issue of blood. "Go there," he said. And I began to understand. The Lord was painting a picture for me. You go to verse 21. Jesus in a crowd. He's landed. The last time I spoke, I talked about this guy who was being tormented. It's an amazing story, the chapter before. But like I said, I got to stay here. A certain woman with a flow of blood. Verse 25. Now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. Let's go to NIV. Sorry. Verse 25. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet she got worse. Does that sound like thievery to you? Does that sound like someone's been robbed to you? Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. We're going to skip forward a little bit. He said, who touched me? And the disciples are like, what do you mean? There's people everywhere. And then he finds this woman. She knew what happened. Verse 33, came and fell at his feet and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, only time in the Bible, Jesus says, daughter, father-in-law, where are you? Am I right? Only time, right? Maybe, he said. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Guys, John 10, he talks about a door. But he talks about thieves and robbers. You know, my whole life I've been struggling. I was born into a struggle. Generations of struggle. And I taught that once I developed this behavior, once I developed this need for alcohol and drugs to be in my system, once I became addicted to that stuff, I thought that was the issue. I used and I used and I used. Then I'd quit when my life fell apart. And then I would come here. And I would go to meetings and I would talk to people. I'd put all my energy into that stuff. And I never, ever came to a place of contentment. I could never ever. I was never free. And that went on so long. 25 years. Until 4 years ago. My goal was to leave my beautiful family forever. That's how low I had got. That's how big the mountain of despair and hopelessness had become in my life. Shame. Guilt. My loss of dignity. I'm not even a hope and belief that Jesus could heal me from my condition. No hope. And then one day, he entered my story. And he said, get up. That's all it took. He said, get up. And coincidentally enough, I walked out the door of the camper and into my freedom. I didn't even know. See, guys, there's thieves and robbers in this world. Anything that we put that we look to for a remedy, for our condition. We all have a condition. We're human. We live on the earth. We're going to get hurt. And to think that's not true is a lie. With this world is a hard place. Even your own family will hurt you. Your own friends will break your trust. Bad things happen. But we can walk around like, oh, everything's good. I'm not hurt. I'm fine. I'm bulletproof. That's not real. We have a condition. And then we look to everything else. We look to drugs. We look to alcohol. We look to success. We look to fashion. We look to our jobs. We look to keep our hands busy. We look to women. We look to whatever it is. But I'm telling you that it's just a temporary remedy. And before you know it, that thing you went to help for is the thing that's going to ensnare you. It's the thing that turns into a mountain. It's the thing that binds you. It's the thing that steals your hope. But like I said, thank God, He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake you. He chases you. His goodness pursues you. You're not in trouble. You're being chased, bro, by his goodness, and it's relentless. It's like a tide, and it'll smooth out every jagged edge of your life. It's like a tide. You're not in trouble. Okay, where am I? Then I was, as we read in John 10, let's go back there. There's some cool stuff here. We'll get through this. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. And now you're like, oh my God, we got to respond. Yeah, you got to respond as the Lord leads. So if you're scared, you know, prepare yourself. The Lord's with you. He'll help you. He's calling you. He's calling you today. No more hiding. Guys, it's not enough. It's not enough to watch me up here. It's not enough to watch Joel up here and consume what we see and inherit our journey. You have your own journey. God is a personal God. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. He wants to take the brokenness of your life, put you back together so you can sit next to someone who needs that love that you got. Pour out your life. Your cup overflows so you can spill onto somebody else, and you come back to him and your cup overflows again and you spill it out on someone's life again. It's not just for you. I didn't want to be up here. I want to quit preaching. I do. This is my act of worship. You don't know how much faith it takes to come up here. Even with this, I threw my book on the ground. I don't want to do this. But the Almighty God has built a trust in me through healing and through cultivating a relationship with him. I know, Lord, where I go, you'll lead me. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. A righteous man may fall 7 times and the Lord builds him up again. You don't get that from watching me. You don't get that. You get that by going to the secret place. Go back to John 10. John 10. Man, time's going fast. Verse 14. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep knows me. That's too far. Verse 3. Man, I was far. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he's brought them out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. He's talking about intimacy here. I don't know your voice. You talk to me. I'm not going to follow you. I don't know who you are. But as I started to dig through this verse, I realized that they're Judean shepherds back in the day. That when we think of pasture, we're going to get to pasture. We think of this big green field. But those shepherds lived in the cliffs and in the mountains, and the pastures were sparse, patchy. So they had to journey to where they're going. So if you can imagine a daily journey where the shepherd opens the gate, he leads them out. Follow me. We got to go around this danger. We got to make sure we walk here. I'll lead you. Follow me. It's okay. Oh, you fell down. No worries. I'll help you up. Now come. I'll dust you off. Come on. Let's go. Oh, you're a wayward sheep. That's okay. I'll give you a little kick and now let's go. Follow me to get to the pasture. Guys, pasture is where we want to be. It's contentment, it's peace, it's rest, it's victory, it's freedom, it's power, it's faith, it's hope, it's freedom from the things that hold us down. We need to get to that pasture. How are we going to get there? Well, I'll tell you one thing, booze isn't going to get you there. Jesus is going to get you there. He's the door. We look back at that lady bleeding for 12 years, suffering, spent all her resources, no hope, no future, no cure. touches Jesus. He didn't even know she was coming. Well, he probably did. He's the door to the pasture. But you have to build that with him. Comes from intimacy. He leads the sheep. And then as I studied, this part kind of wrecked me. As I studied, when he says, I'm the door, he says it later on. I don't know if we're going to get there. He says it later on. He makes the statement, a powerful statement, one that I didn't understand. But as I researched, I found that shepherds back in the day, this could be a good one for you, wayward sheep, you stubborn sheep, like, when they go out to pasture and if they run out of time on their journey, on the side of the mountains, there's naturally occurring caves. The shepherd would be proactive. See, he knows there's a time, there's going to be a few times where we can't get back. So what I'll do is I'll build a shelter. He piles rocks and makes a wall in this cave. There's a wall, but he leaves open the door. He brings all his sheep into the cave. He brings them all in. You know what he does next? He lays down in the door. He lays down to keep you safe on the inside and to fight off the predators on the outside. Even when we're wayward, you guys, even when we make those mistakes, man, this part hit me so hard because even when I was in the dark place, Jesus was laying at the door, protecting me, preserving me, loving me. It's not him that's the problem, it's us. We're the problem. Because we live on this earth and we've been hurt and we don't want to be vulnerable. Because if I'm vulnerable and I trust, then there's a chance that I'm going to get hurt again. So we push it away. He's the door to everything you need. He's not a lottery winner thing. Oh, I need this, I need this. He'll give you contentment. He'll give you peace in every situation. He'll give you what you need to overcome. If it's grief, if it's loss, whatever it is in this life, you can have contentment. You can have a future. Look at my beautiful family. My girls, daddy's going to let you down. I will. But always remember that the Lord won't let you down. He'll never let you down. He's trustworthy. He's the door. He's the only door. Well, why is he the only door, Nolan? Well, ask that lady that was bleeding for 12 years what her other options were. He's the only door to healing. I don't care if you have a broken arm, or I don't care if you can't do this thing with your physical body. I want to see your insides healed. Be restored. You can have one arm and have peace. Okay, this is the end. Verse 9. Can I get Ike? Ike, are you here, bro? There's my guy. The good news. God is good, you guys. He's so good. I was at a men's group my first year of sobriety. First year of sobriety is rough because your emotions are all over the place. You have no footing, no firm foundation. You can't trust anything. Somebody says hi to me, I cry. My mom calls me, says good morning, my son, I cry. I stumble, I cry. Your emotions are everywhere. I came to a men's group with Dave Wells, the legend himself. And it had been about a year. And I left. I didn't cry. And he was just hammering like all this good stuff. All this good stuff. And I was sitting there, I was getting fired up. Yeah, bro. I mean, I don't say bro to him, but I was like, yeah, you know, I was just feeling it. You know, I was feeling it. I got into my truck 7:30 in the morning. I'm driving down, I'm south on Winnipeg. And I'm like, right on, Lord, I'm getting better. I didn't cry today. I've been crying for a year. I didn't cry today. I got to the stop sign on Fort. All of a sudden, my brain went like a scoop. 40 years into the past, and I saw a scene I hadn't seen in 40 years of myself, a little boy. I was afraid of the dark, and when my parents would have company, I'd be so scared. I would knock on my sister's wall. She would knock back, I'd feel good. But I couldn't sleep because I was scared. I'd knock, no knock back, she'd fall asleep. I had a little man. I would cling to this little man, this little G.I. Joe. And as long as I had him in my grip, I felt safe. I was seeing that at a red light. I began to bawl and weep and weep and weep. I thought I was good. I wept. I saw myself holding this ball of light raised like this all over. And the Lord said, you don't need that man no more. You hold fast to me. You hold fast to me. That's it. That's all we got to do, guys. Hold fast to him. Now, John 10, verse 9. I am the gate. I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Oh, I worship you, Lord. I tried it all, you guys. Been crying for 4 years. I tried it all. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The good life. Strength. Hope. Forgiveness. Freedom. Above all else in my life, you guys, when you're bound, what I cherish most is freedom. I'm free. I'm free. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We're not talking about material things, you guys. They're nice, but he's talking about freedom, a full life, a full life. But we have a part to play. You guys ready? The Holy Spirit leads you. Let him. If the Holy Spirit begins to move on you, let him. If you feel your heart being yanked at, let him. If you feel love and warmth pouring over you, let him. If you begin to feel vulnerable, let him. Revelation 3:20. Oh, that's my bingo caller voice. I gotta settle down here. You guys, I was in the world a long time, I'm telling you. That's why I say cool stuff. Here I am. Jesus is speaking. He's the door, he's the only way. He's your only hope. If you're suffering, he's the only way. He's the only door. You're not going to make it without him. But we... Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. What door is that, Nolan? That's the door to your heart, bro. He stands and he knocks. If anyone hears my voice and opens a door, I'll come in and I'll eat with that person. And they with me in the Gospel of John, we see God, the Son of God, establish himself as the Messiah through healing and imagery. He's doing that. He establishes as God. Then he invites us into communion. I will sit with you and you sit with me. Scariest door ever came up to. This is it, I promise. Last time I'll say that. Scariest door. I was talking with Deb. I told her about my whole life. I was at the end. She said, I don't care about that stuff. Tell me about your childhood, she said. And I realized in an instant that that place was off limits. That if my life was a series of doors, my childhood was the end. Padlock, chains, do not enter, beware, all that stuff. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to blame anybody. I didn't want to hurt anybody. I couldn't go there. It was too much for me. See, I didn't know, you guys, that the remedy that I was turning to, my issue in life wasn't drugs and alcohol. My issue was I had a condition in my heart that I was turning to thieves and robbers to help me. They couldn't help me. They just bind me, make it worse, take my hope, steal my joy. But after a couple sessions of weeping, I said, okay, let's go in there. And on the other side of all that pain and fear was my freedom. And as I let him, Jesus, where's that picture? Give me that picture again, please, with respect. I let him. I thought before, how could you, God? How could you? Where were you, Jesus? How could you let this happen to me? And then he began to show me that he was there. He was with me. He was sleeping in the gate, the doorway. It was him protecting me. And as I opened the door to my heart to him, he began to sift and he began to ply through all my defenses, through my mistrust, through my insecurities, through my fear, through my hurt. He began to sift. Till he got to my heart and he said, there you are, Nolan, I can work with this. He's faithful. Any other system is going to fail you guys. Everything else that sets itself up as a remedy in your life is temporary. It's a door, and his name is Jesus. Open the door of your heart to him. Ask him to make you brave. Ask him to strengthen your grip so that you can hold on to him. Okay? Amen? Amen. I'll get you to stand. I want to pray for you guys. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you're an amazing God. I thank you that you're a personal God, Lord. We just worship you. We worship you, Lord. If there's any need, God. If there's any need, Lord. If there's any fear, God. there's any bitterness in me, Lord, would you search me again, oh God? I give you permission, Lord. Search me, God. Heal me, Lord. Use me, God. I bless these people, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to give them the courage, God, to lay prostrate before you, vulnerable. Say, have your way in me. Have your way in me. Build them up, Lord. Heal, Lord. Heal. I speak healing. I speak freedom. I speak bravery. I speak encouragement. I speak overcoming. I speak a warrior spirit. It's time, my people. It's time. I speak a future. I speak destiny. Those things that have fallen to the ground doesn't mean they can't be resurrected, my people. There's a future for you. And it's not just you. There's people behind you that'll experience liberty too as you begin to open your life up to Jesus, as you begin to let him work in you and through you and spill your cup over everyone that is in your world, in your circle. Let him do that work in you. Let him heal you. We can exist with pain and suffering. We can do that and stay afar off in the shallow water. Get in the deep water. Let him heal you. If there's any of you that want to come forward and be prayed for, we'd be happy to do that for you. And if there's any of you that don't know Jesus, and it's the first time, and you got to see this crazy guy up here talking, talk to somebody. Come up. We'll pray for you. If you have fear, we'll pray for you. We're coming with an expectation today that the Holy Spirit will move. He's a gentleman. You have to answer the door. He's not going to force his way in there. Okay? Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Surely your goodness and your loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, Lord. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God, we just thank you for Nolan. Nolan, your cup isn't just splashing over, it's pouring out over people. And we are so grateful for your obedience. Thank you, God. So, Father, we just offer this to you. We offer our hearts to you this morning. And we just ask you, come in. Come in, Lord. We welcome you. We love you. We honor you. We glorify you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.